Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyebhyo Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So today, in our 11th canto, we are starting chapter 4, which is called Drumila Explains the Incarnations of God to King Nimi. That's a pretty complete description. Okay. So we'll start with text 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this chapter is short. It has 23 verses, relatively short. One interesting feature is fully half of the verses that describe the avatars, because there's, you eliminate the question, then there's 22 verses, and 11 verses are dedicated to explaining one avatar, Narayan Rishi, and all the rest are very quickly gone over with. And this is like a really what I've read here in this chapter, I see no explanation of this, so I'm investigating this peculiar feature with the help of more knowledgeable people. So, but anyway, that's what this verse is about. So here, with the first verse, we have the king's questions, the Raja Uvacha. He says, Yani Yani, you have this construction here, Yani Yani and Yaya Yai. Yani Yani Iha Karmani, Yaya Swachanda Janmabihi, Chakre Karoti Kartava Haristani Bruvantu Naha. So it says here, I'll just the translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead descends into the material world at Iha by his internal potency. What this says here is Swachanda, by his own will, his own desire. In other words, he's not forced to do so like we are. Material energy, and so here he says, according to his own desire. Doesn't really explicitly mention the internal potency, which had done that. So he wants to know the activities, the karmani of the various appearances he performed. Oh, chakre karoti karta. He has performed, he does perform, and he will perform, past, present, and future. Please tell us this of the Lord. Some interesting features of this idea of this yani yani and yai yai is it means like what. Which avatars performed which activities, you know, whichever activities are performed by whichever avatars. It's like very specific. Tell me about the avatars, and tell me which avatars performed which activities in the past, present, and future. That's kind of a little more specifically pointed in this way for a kind of a comprehensive, the suggestion is something like, you know, a total inventory of all the avatars, huh? And actually, in the beginning of his response, he'll basically deal with that comprehensiveness of the question. You'll notice here first paragraph. They mention that they tell us how this question really connects with the previous chapter where devotional service has been described, and so it's mentioned here in the It's mentioned here, this 11.3.48. Murtya avimataya atmanaha. One should worship the particular form of the Lord, avimataya, which is preferred or most attractive to atmanaha, to himself. So this has been the instruction on the 48th verse in the last chapter, that's the form of the Lord you should worship, the one that you have a preference to or like attracted to. So therefore, in order to do that, you have to know, well, what are the forms? I mean, what's the choices? Because you have to, you know, see what you're most attracted to. So therefore, this leads to this question, okay, that form which is most attractive, well, we know there are many forms, so tell me about them, you know? So that's as this, you know, tell me about all these avatars, each one of them. And then also another verse that's referred to, Stavai Stutva Namit Harim. This is 11.3.53, where different the instructions for worshiping the deities are given. And this is Stavai Stutva, honoring the deities by offering prayers, Stava. Namit Harim, one should bow down to Hari. The word Stava comes from the Sanskrit verbal root stu, which means to praise, to celebrate in song and hymn. So Stava means praise, celebration, which that is to say, to recite the guna and lila of the Lord. So therefore, you also have to know, what did he do? What are the activities of each one of them? So you know, he's really asking two things. Who the avatars are, and what did they do? What did each one of them do in his own way? So that's his very comprehensive question. So you got to find out your priya avatar, you know, your one that you love the most. You know, so you got to know about them, what they did. Some description is there. In the second paragraph, there's this discussion about that this doesn't mean you can just, you know, make one up or everything like this. It's really a jiva who still has an arthas is not really capable of, you know, concocting an avatar, choosing one at will, you know. Oh, I like this one, I like that one. In the beginning, everybody, you know, was interested in conjugal rasa. The Germans seem to be, all think they're devotees of Nrsinga Dev. You know, so these are different fads, you know, that people have or go through. And that's nice to worship the Lord like that, but really to really worship a form of the Lord by which your full feelings and surrender are brought out. Therefore, if to be sort of have, you have to have pure taste, you know. So that you have to be nishkarma nimralam. You have to be, you know, detached, and you have to be pure. And then, you know, your object of worship will be revealed. But as long as there's material things, then people will choose them, the way people decide on demigods. I remember in the Jagannath Ballabha Gardens in Puri, there's a Hanuman temple. And all these pujaris are these really buffed-up brahmacharis who spend all their time in the yard weightlifting and doing exercises. It's basically a gym. And a Hanuman temple, so all the pujaris are interested in bodily strength, and for that they worship Hanuman. You know, so this is purely a material taste. So that can happen with the Lord. I mean, you worship Hanuman, maybe you'll get attracted to Lord Ramachandra, and you worship Lord Ramachandra even because you like archery or whatever. Still, you know, you may become purified, but this is the idea that one should actually, one who's competent to develop a real taste has to be, this is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says this, Nishkarma and Nirmalam, a jiva, therefore your taste is pure. So that's his question. So he can actually, or one can actually, worship the Lord, and so you can also have knowledge. So then the answer begins with text 2 here. Jamila says, he's the one that answers these questions. Yova anantasya gunan anantan anukramishyan satubala buddhihi rajamsi bhumer gayanyet yatanchit gayanyet katanchit kalena naivakila shaktitam na. So he's saying, first of all, see, this is the kind of hey, wait a minute about this question. Anyone trying to enumerate or describe fully anukramishya, the unlimited qualities of the unlimited Supreme Lord, anantasya gunan anantan. So the Lord is ananta. Similarly, his qualities are also in ananta, without any end. That person who thinks he can do that, bala buddhi, his intelligence is like the intelligence of a child. And so then that's the first statement. Then he says, Rajamsi bhumer gayanyet kantanchit. Even if a great genius, the great genius is not explicitly mentioned here in this verse, but, you know, if there's somebody who can count the particles of dust on the earth somehow over time, even if somebody could do that, he's so like adept that he can count them all. That person cannot count the qualities of the Lord, who is Akila Shakti Damna, the abode or reservoir of all shaktis, all energies. Right? That's the. This verse should, in the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, second canto, seventh chapter, text 20, there's this famous thing, Vishnur Nuvirya, Gananam Katamor Hatiha, Ya Parati, Vyani api kavir vimane rajamsi. Who can completely describe the prowess of Vishnu, his virya, Vishnu virya, the potencies, the prowess of virya? Even the scientist, here in this word is kavi. This Prabhupada translates as scientist. Kavi means a doctor. A professor, a PhD, even the scientist who might have counted the particles of the atoms of the universe cannot do so. We've encountered that verse before. Then it goes on to describe the Lord in this form of Trivikram, with one's motion of his leg would be on such a loka. So really what he's saying here, Sri Jamila, is, well, all the avatars, past, present, and future, they can't be, I can't, anyone, no one can speak all of them. Anyone who thinks he can, then his bala buddhi, his intelligence is like the intelligence of a child. Oh, I can do it, I can do it, you know. I can drive the car. Right. So that he has that intelligence of a child, and then he says, because even if you were a genius who could count all the dust on the earth's surface, you could never count these qualities, right? So basically he's saying that I'm not going to so in the first verse of the first line of the purport, in reply to King Nimi's request that the Navayoginis describe all the qualities and pastimes of the Lord, Sri Jamila here explains that only the most foolish person would even attempt such a comprehensive description of the unlimited qualities and pastimes of the personality of Godhead, right? So he's going to give a sample. Basically, the implication is that he's going to not, because it's only 23 verses, so he's going to give you a little taste of this, right? So then he begins this description, the next two texts, 3 and 4, describe the Purusha avatars, these two verses. At least the first two of them, Karanadakshayi Vishnu, that is to say Mahavishnu, and Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. So here, text 3, Bhutar Yapanchavir Atmashishta. Puram Virajam Virachaya Tasmin Somshena Vishtaha Purush Abdidanam Avapa Narayana Adidevaha. So what this says is Narayana, the Adidevaha, the first person, the primal Lord. This is Narayan in the spiritual world. This describes how he became known as or attained the designation Purusha. Because Purusha here usually refers to the Purusha avatars. So how did he get the name Purusha? So when he, Lord Narayan, created this Atma Srishta, this word for creation, Srishta, Srishti, sometimes for creation, it doesn't mean, it means to send forth, really. The sense of Srishti is send forth, not that you cobble it together, or you produce it out of nothing, but you send it forth, because it's his own energies. So he sends it forth, Atma Srishta, by him, out of himself. The Pancha Bhuta. Bhuta means the gross elements here. And Pancha, the five, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Puram Virajam Vicharya. And in this way, he constructs the universal viraja, the universe in its at least its subtle form. And then enters it, Swamsha, by his own Amsha, his part, or plenary expansion, Vishtha, enters. By that, he attains the name Purusha. That's what it says. There's an interesting verse in this regard concerning Purusha avatars. This verse is from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita who did the Bhagavat? Is it Jiva or? Yeah. The Rupa Goswami, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, the light, the little, and it, so it's quoted from here in Adi Lila 5, text 27, where there are the, it says Vishnu's to Trini Rupani. Vishnu has three forms, Purusha Akyani, which are known as the, are called the Purushas. And so then it goes on to say, the first, which is Maha, Vishnu, he creates the Mahat, that is to say the total material energy. The second is Garbhodakshayi, who's situated with under Samastitam, within the universe. And the third, Sarvabhutastam, situated in the heart of every living being. Knowing these three, one becomes liberated. Somewhere Prabhupada said that the devotee must be prepared to meet these three forms of the Lord. So this is described here, this verse, by the way, which occurs in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, is said to be from the Satvata Tantra. Remember, we discussed those kind of books, the tantras or the agamas. The way this is translated in the there's a translation of the Laghu Bhagavatamrita out by Bhanu Swami, which has Baladev Vijayabhushana's commentary. So in that little book which I have, what the text says there, the types of Purusha avatars are described in the Satvata Tantra. The wise know that the Purusha consists of three forms of the original Vishnu, Shankarshana. The first is the creator of the Mahatattva, the second is situated within the universe, the third is situated within each living entity. Knowing these three, one becomes liberated. And Baladev says in his commentary, the creator of the Mahatattva is the Antaryami of Prakriti. Antaryami is usually a name for the super soul, one who goes within. Is called, so the creator of the Mahatattva, the Antaryami of Prakriti, called Shankarshana. The second is the Antaryami of Brahma and is called Prajumna, that is to say the super soul of Brahma. There's the total super soul of all of material of Prakriti. The Antaryami of Prakriti is called Shankarshana. The Antaryami of Brahma is called Prajumna, that's Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. The third is the Antaryami of all the Jivas, and is called Aniruddha, or Shirodakshayi Vishnu. That's what it says here in this purport. So these are the Purusha avatars. This verse is speaking of these Purusha avatars in a general way, really. I mean, they mention right away the Mahavishnu, but the others are also included in them, in this description, because they're all Purusha. But he attains this name Purusha, according to this verse, when he's the creator of the Mahatat. And at that time, creating the world through the Panchabhutas, although he enters into it, he's still Purusha. He remains the Purusha as separate from Prakriti. He creates the Prakriti, so you have these two. It's mentioned here in the commentary that he is the doesn't come here to enjoy. The Purusha is the enjoyer of the Chinmaya, the Chit Shakti, whereas the Jivas are the enjoyers of matter, Jada. Chinmaya means it's conscious, and Jada means dull matter. So the bound Jivas who are cast out from the spiritual world, their abode becomes Devidam. They're no longer living in Vaikunthadam. And of course, the whole material creation is for the sake of these Jivas.